This is Ken Jones, host of Jonesy. On today's show, we celebrate the life of Sam Mowry, who passed away in Portland last month. Sam was an actor, both on stage and behind the mic, a director, and an impresario of radio theater, especially in his role as artistic director of the group he founded, Willamette Radio Workshop. He was also a mentor and good friend to me, as well as many other folks in our radio theater community. And oh, that incredible voice, sounding like Orson Welles himself in his Mercury Theater prime. Our condolences go out to Sam's wife, Cindy McGean, and his son, Atticus Mowry. Sam leaves a body of work and a legacy that will live on in our memories. And since radio waves travel forever through the universe, the voice of Sam will always be out there somewhere, on its way to who knows how many new and distant audiences. I had the great privilege of talking with Sam several times for KABU. Our first interview, and we'll hear a rebroadcast of that today, was January 2017 for my previous KABU show, Mr. Jones's Neighborhood. Sam joined me live in the KABU studios with John Barber of Reimagine Radio phoning in from his home in Vancouver, Washington. We talked radio theater, the golden age of radio comedy, and Sam and John's joint production, Laugh Your Dial Off, a live onstage tribute to that golden age, and stars like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, W.C. Fields, Fibber McGee and Molly, Jack Benny and Fred Allen, and Abbott and Costello. Before we get started, a reminder that KABU's fall membership drive kicked off a few days ago. We're trying to raise $30,000 before September 21st and can use your help. KABU was founded back in 1968, and over 56 years later, we're still here. One thing hasn't changed in all that time. KABU began and continues as true listener-sponsored community radio. We get 80% of our funding from our members. You can support programs like this and independent media by becoming a member today or renewing your membership. Just go online to kabu.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Now here, from January 2017, our show with the much-loved and sorely missed godfather of Portland Radio Theater, Sam Mowry. Good morning, neighbor. I'm glad we're together again. We have a very special show for you today on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, the children's program for reluctant adults. I'm the host of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, Ken Jones. No relation, by the way. Today's show is the last episode of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood as a monthly, hour-long show. We'll be going to a bi-monthly half-hour show on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month at 11 a.m., starting October 14th. We'll also be changing the show's name to Jonesy, one of the nicer names I've been called. We've been advised by our legal representatives, who have both been disbarred from practicing law on the radio, to change the name rather than risk litigation from the Fred Rogers estate. Those guys are anything but neighborly. To mark this special occasion, we're re-airing one of our very first episodes from September 2017. It features our good friend Sam Mowry. Sam's the artistic director of Willamette Radio Workshop, one of the top radio theater troupes in the Pacific Northwest, if not the entire country. He dropped by to talk about the golden age of radio, especially the golden age of radio comedy. Willamette Radio Workshop had just performed Laugh Your Dial Off, a live onstage radio theater production which included episodes from classic shows such as Fibber McGee and Molly, Vic and Sade, Fred Allen and Jack Benny, and Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Laugh Your Dial Off was a joint production of the Willamette Radio Workshop and another local radio theater troupe, Reimagined Radio. The mastermind behind Reimagined Radio, John Barber, joined us by phone from Vancouver, Washington, where he teaches in the Creative Media and Digital Culture program at the local campus of Washington State University. Let's set the Wayback Machine to September 29, 2017, as we welcome radio theater impresarios Sam Mowry and John Barber to discuss the golden age of radio comedy, which is already in progress. Sam Mowry and John Barber, welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you very much, Ken.
John, are you there?
Thank you.
Oh, great.
I'm here, and it's good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, John, I actually have the first question for you. I want a little background for our KBOO listeners. What's the Creative Media and Digital Culture program on WSU Vancouver campus like?
Why, it's a fantastic experience. It's the best program the university has to offer and provides a definitive pathway for people interested in being part of the digital future.
And that's not just audio, it's video also?
Well, there are various forms of digital media that our students can work in, produce artifacts in, and seek employment in after they graduate. Sound and video are two of them. Web development, social media, augmented reality, virtual reality are some of the others
provide
opportunities.
Yes, real reality, Sam said. And John, you produce...
Well, that's radio.
Right. Actually, we're kind of a legacy medium sometimes, I think. Yeah. But John, you produce Reimagine Radio as part of the program at WSU. Could you describe Reimagine Radio and what gave you the idea to come up with this project?
I've always been interested in radio as a storytelling medium, and especially storytelling that's based entirely on sound, and sound as making dramatic connections with the listener's imagination to create real worlds and ways to inhabit them in the minds of the listeners. And I guess the idea for Reimagined Radio came about through a series of problems associated with curating sound artifacts. How do you get people to spend the time to listen to a sound artifact when they're so used to simply glancing at things that are visually oriented in gallery situations? I was teaching a class at the time, digital storytelling class, and we were using as the basis of our work The War of the Worlds, the fantastic radio program by Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air. And we were creating digital backstories for the original analog recording. And the question came up, how are people going to understand what we're working off of? How are they going to understand the shoulders that we're standing on? So we decided that what we needed to do was to offer a experience with the War of the Worlds radio broadcast. I had known Sam from some previous encounters. I contacted him, pitched him the idea. He was very enthusiastic, and we put together a performance, a recreation of the original broadcast on the 75th anniversary of that original broadcast. So it was quite an evening.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, by the way, has one of the greatest voices in radio and can do pitch-perfect Orson Welles, actually.
Well, thank you very much.
He's an excellent channel for Orson Welles, absolutely.
Sam, can you tell us about Willamette Radio Workshop? Because it's a collaboration between John's program and WRW. Its origins and maybe a few of the group's previous performances.
Sure.
We know about War of the Worlds now.
Yeah, our first production was War of the Worlds. We did it. It's really funny when we think about it because we did it. There was no microphones, no digital sounds at all. It was just Foley and people pretending to talk into microphones. And we did it as a midnight show on the 30th, which is the actual broadcast date of the original.
October 30th,
right. The day before Halloween. And we were at the Coho Theater in Northwest Portland. And we had reservations for 75 people for a midnight show, which we thought was pretty good. Well, we showed up and there was a line lined up to go in. We ended up with 150 people there.
Oh,
and
amazing.
We had 50 no-shows from our list. And thank goodness, because the place only legally fit 125, but we really couldn't keep people out at that late hour.
What a great start. So that kind of gave you the idea to keep
this
going.
So we said, I think there's something going on here. I think people are interested in it. And we had a group of... it was an odd beginning because a young man had put an ad in the newspaper and said he was having a meeting at the library for people interested in radio drama. And I went and showed up because I've been interested since I was a little kid because my dad was a big radio buff. And I walk in, and there were about a dozen of my friends who I didn't know were into radio as well. And this guy made a wonderful pitch, and it just really sounded like nothing we wanted to do. And so he finished, and then we all kind of got together out in the lobby and said, you know, that doesn't sound good, but we like the idea of radio. So we started having meetings and came up with, as usual, doing the War of the Worlds, because that's the... You know, that's the touchstone in the popular consciousness of radio drama. That's the greatest radio drama. And I always like to say it's the greatest half hour of radio drama. Sadly, it's an hour long.
When I was at the show the other night at the Kiggins, Laugh Your Dial Off, and you had mentioned that this was the first time you ventured into old-time radio comedy.
Yes.
So previously you did dramas like War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah. We did War of the Worlds. We've done Fall of the City, which is a great Columbia Workshop piece that Archibald MacLeish wrote and Orson Welles was in, and Burgess Meredith. And we've done...
RUR, the...
RUR,
the
yes.
Original robot story.
Carl Capek, and we... we've done just a ton of stuff. We've done a lot of suspense, and we also do a lot of original work from local playwrights and actually playwrights from around the region. We've had workshops where we teach people how to write for radio, because it is a little different than writing for
TV. It is very different, yeah. You can't film. You can kind of show about 10 minutes and set a scene. In radio, it needs to be all audio, sound effects,
and it's one of the simple things where if you have three people in a room, you have to address people. You know, yes, Ken, I understand what you're telling me, because the people who are listening in, you don't know when they're coming in, and they don't know who's talking. And if they don't know who's talking, that can really affect your plot. If you spend a lot of time trying to figure out who the characters are, you're not paying attention to the story. But
right.
Those are little things, and it was we got a RAC grant for that, and it was great fun. We've been doing this for 16 years, and we've done Frankenstein. We've done the Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Next year's Girl, we've won 9 National Audio Theater Awards for our work. And comedy.
And
while some of them are funny,
this is the first time you did actual
golden
age
old time radio. Because, well, first of all, I'm a giant fan, and a lot of old time radio is really dependent on the characters and who does them. Jack Benny is so iconic. You know, it needs to be Jack Benny. But we found a wonderful actor, David Myers, who does a great Jack Benny.
Incredible.
Really knows how to work that pause.
And we'll hear his Edgar Bergen, and we'll hear his David L. Lander, actually,
from
the Credibility Gaps version of Who's On First coming up.
Yes. And John was, you know, really pushing for a comedy show, because he's always said, well, why don't we do a comedy? And I'm kind of, no, let's do some suspense thing. Let's do some horror thing, because that's – I love – the power of audio drama and suspense and horror are a couple of genres that really benefit from the sound and the sound medium, because you're creating worlds in your head. Whereas comedy, you just kind of react to what's funny, and it's not as the audience doesn't need to be as connected with you. You know.
Though there are some very distinct worlds in there, like Fibber McGee and Molly's Closet.
Well, and Vic and
Sade. You recreated that.
Yes, and Vic and Sade are one of the Mark Rose, who got these unproduced Vic and Sade episodes. He has 4 of them, and we did one of them, and we have got plans to do broadcast versions of the other 4.
Amazing. That was a real treat.
Surreal. If you haven't listened to Vic and Sade before, go and find it online. There's tons of it. It's just so otherworldly, the way their world is collected. The author, Paul Reimer, when they were introducing the character of Rush, their baby, he had told the sponsors what he wanted to do was to have Sade give birth to an 8-year-old boy. and they were like, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to let that happen.
I've got that image in my head, though, right now.
So they adopted. So I thought that was nice.
Oh, John, how did you and Sam go about picking the shows? Sam mentioned the unproduced Vic and Sade script, and we mentioned some of the other pieces that you did, Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, Jack Benny and Fred Allen. Was that kind of a process of elimination?
Well, I'd say it was more spontaneous creation. I mean, we Sam and I get together over lunch and we talk about ideas. We begin throwing out favorite programs or episodes, debate them back and forth. Eventually, we might settle on something, but then
share
often,
MP3s and
like
stuff.
In this case, something just appears from left field that is just perfect, and so it gets inserted into the program.
Yeah, the credibility gap play on Who's on First was actually suggested at the first rehearsal by Todd Tulsis. He came in and said, I heard this, and we need to do this. And my first response is always, do you have a transcript?
Did he?
He did not. But then he went home, and he spent all night transcribing the tape so that we got a script.
And Todd's in that along
yes,
with
and
David
Todd was
Meyer.
In as well.
So listeners, we will hear that. Now I mentioned that Laugh Your Dial Off, the performance was last Wednesday, so 2 days ago at the Kiggins Theater in Vancouver. John, are there any plans for another performance of Laugh Your Dial Off?
Well, it's I don't know that we would repeat it here in Vancouver. It might be too soon to do that. But it could very well be something that Sam would use in his endeavors in the Portland area.
Well, and it's streaming too, right? There's a link on the Reimagined Radio site.
There is a link, but it streamed the night of the performance. Now what you can do is listen to the site or listen to the program on demand at the Reimagined Radio website. Yes, absolutely.
And for our listeners, whether there's another performance or not, or some of these excerpts from it in Sam's future shows, we're going to play three of them for you today as a treat for those who missed the Kiggins Theater performance. And I want to start off with an episode from the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show, and this is our special guest W.C. Fields, who you'll find out, if you don't know already, didn't exactly get along with Charlie. Mm-hmm. Sam, can you set this up for us a little?
Sure. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy started out just as a featured act on the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and Edgar Bergen was a ventriloquist, and he was in vaudeville, and that's where they actually met W.C. Fields. They were old friends. He's a ventriloquist on radio, which is a very odd thing.
Kind of an easy job.
Yeah. Yes, it is very much an easy job. But radio in the golden era, there was a lot of cross-pollination. Actors would be on one show in one studio and walk down the studio and be in another show. And one of the things with the Bergen McCarthy is the number of times that they would just kind of be improvising. The most basic thing, oh, we're going to meet you at, in this particular one, a sanatorium. And away they go. And so it's always very fresh and always very quick. And when you listen to the actual episodes, it's always funny because there are times that they break each other up.
And we'll hear a little of that now. We've got Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, and W.C. Fields as reimagined by Reimagine Radio.
My, this sanatorium has beautiful grounds, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I guess Mr. Fields' bungalow is right along here someplace. Even the numbers are on this side.
Why, that's it there. Look, even the number is lit up.
I tell you what we'll do, Charlie. Let's walk in and surprise Fields.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, bring me my books and my bottle. Oh, you.
Hello, Bill.
Hiya, Mr. Fields.
Hark, who goes there, friend or hypodermic?
Why, Bill, it's us, Bill.
A fine thing. A man can't even sit in his own boudoir without being accosted by beggars.
Shall I let him have it now, Bill?
No. Bill, it's your old friends, Edgar and Charlie.
Well, so it is. Come on in, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
Well, Charles, I hear you got married and raised yourself a court of children.
I fear that isn't quite right, sir.
You fear that isn't quite right, sir? If it's anything I hate, it's an honest child.
Bill, it's good to see you again. How true that old proverb is, old friends, like old wines, are best, eh?
Yes, indeedy, Edgar. Yes, indeedy. Especially the wine.
Bill, I was going to bring you a basket of fruit, But I decided to ask you first what you like best and then have it sent out.
Oh, well, I like brandied peaches.
Brandied peaches.
They're very nourishing. You squeeze the peaches and you save the juice.
Bill, you don't sound like you're ill. What are you doing here in the sanatorium?
Well, don't you know that there's a housing shortage?
Oh, so that's why you're living here.
You mean you're not really sick, Bill?
Quiet.
Yes, if they think you're well, they'll toss you out of here as well, won't they?
Sure they will.
Say, I was told about your eviction, Bill, but I'd like to hear your side of the story.
Yeah, we've already heard the truth.
Yes, very good, my little chum, very good. You know, Charles, many's the time I wished you could be here to fill that terrible vacancy.
In your heart, Bill?
No, in my fireplace.
Well, that would be a nice place to bake that red apple.
Oh,
or is that your nose?
Bill, why were you evicted from your home?
Well, the whole thing started with a very few small birds.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've always been very fond of our feathered friends.
Yes.
Large or small, tame or wild.
Blonde or brunette?
Yes. I hear that you have a yellow-throated magpie in your aviary.
Yeah. What about a mongoose?
Well, I had one, but he worked himself to death.
Bill, you have quite a collection, don't you?
Yes, I have, Edgar. Yes, I have. I always have a very rare Australian duck-billed platypus.
I'm sure the doctors can cure you.
No, Charlie. There is such a bird. It has fur on its body, lives in the water, has a duck bill, and lays eggs.
Yes, like I do.
Well, how small is this bird? Do you need glasses to see it?
Yes, about 3 or 4.
Bill, what have birds got to do with your eviction?
Well, one day, as I was watching a bird through my field glasses, when my vision suddenly roamed to a neighbor's patio, where a young damsel was taking a sunbath.
It was an unavoidable mistake, I take it.
Oh, yes, indubitably it was. I was most surprised person in the world when the police came and carried me away in that black school bus.
Well, don't tell me you got in that patrol wagon without putting up a fight, Bill.
Yes, they tricked me.
How?
They told me it was a beer truck.
Oh.
Clang, clang, clang.
Yeah, clang, clang, clang.
There.
Who's that, the warden?
No, that's my medicated chambermaid.
Say, tell me, Bill, do you have a nice nurse?
She has the soul of an ice cube. Now, remember, boys, don't expose me. I'm supposed to be a very sick man.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, you're sitting up, huh? Looks like you're just about well.
Isn't she a tough dame? Frankly, nurse, I don't think I'll live through the night.
Good. Then I can rent this room out tomorrow.
That's no way to talk. He's a very sick man.
Why, he's within 3 fingers of death's door. Well, look, he's shaking like a mint leaf.
Oh, water, water. What am I saying?
Oh, shut up. You're doing all right.
How could you tell?
This morning, he tried to blow the foam off the medicine.
Now, just a minute, nurse. He's a sick man.
You keep out of this, Curly. Who do you think you are?
I'm Edgar Bergen.
Yes, I know. And I'm Lana Turner. Why don't you pack up and go home?
Well, he can't go home. He was thrown out of there, too.
Oh, so that's it.
Why don't you close your knothole, you talking totem pole?
Why, you two-legged martini.
Now, Charlie, remember, we came here to extend the olive branch.
What's the use? He's only going to trip over it.
One more crack and I'll nail some runners to your stomach and use you for a sled.
Oh, you slay me, Bill.
And Charlie.
I've never been so insulted since the day I was born.
Oh, you weren't born. You were squeezed out of a bar rack.
Oh, all right, you. Everybody out. Everybody out. Get out of here.
Here we go again. Here we go again. Clang, 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 clang.
Here we go again.
Hey, you just heard an episode from the old Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show, and of course, the inimitable W.C. Fields. His voice was just done perfectly by Reimagine Radio. John's back on the phone with us again from the Washington State University campus in Vancouver. John, how did you pick the Bergen and McCarthy show, and is that something that you were a fan of?
Well, the old comedies from the golden age of radio were certainly popular during that time period. there were a number of them, along with dramas that people would religiously tune into at scheduled times, not wanting to miss a moment of whatever was coming next. So it seems an appropriate choice to include them in a program that we wanted to produce that would highlight the comedy of radio during that time period.
Mm-hmm. And the next one actually is exactly what you were describing. In fact, I think it was at one time one of the most popular radio shows, and it was certainly one of the longest running. At the show, Sam mentioned that it ran about 21 years,
yeah.
35 to 56,
mm-hmm.
and that's Fibber McGee and Molly. Yeah. So is that something also that you want to get into the show, into the Reimagine Radio?
That was one of the very first things we talked about. As I recall, I said we have to feature Fibber McGee's closet.
Yes.
And we have to do the sound effects of everything falling out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Foley guys?
Radio is a medium based in sound. We talked about how people would sit at home and listen and use their imaginations to create pictures of what it was they were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do with the Reimagined Radio show is to provide an opportunity to be present in the radio studio at the time that a live broadcast would be produced. So people have the opportunity not only to hear the actors speaking their lines, but also see them interacting with one another, interacting with the microphones, and especially to see and hear the Foley sound artists.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we love about the Foley is that it's really the part where you get to get the active listening of the audience. Because even when you're there in person, You can close your eyes and your imagination as to what's falling out of the closet and what Molly's buried under and how hard it is to get her out from under that really is how you reach out to your audience, and your audience comes and meets you halfway. It's not a passive experience. And the Fibber McGee's closet is the ultimate image of live radio.
One of the biggest challenges, yeah. probably for a sound effects person, a Foley expert.
David Ian and Dino De Elfweed are our Foley people, and they are just, you know, they're the best in town. They work with everybody, Tesla Radio Stories and Radio Ralph that does the Christmas from Home series. David's also going to be directing that this year, so definitely worth checking out. But it was really a testament to David. You know, I was kind of like, you know, This is for you, buddy. This is as close to the Foley guy gets to being the star.
And the closet, of course, is a recurring incident,
yes.
an event in Fibber McGee and Molly. But you picked a show that focuses on the closet.
Yes. It's cleaning out the closet, and we get the opening of the closet twice.
Right,
so,
which we loved.
Which is also a great challenge for David and Dino, because they had to have the closet open and then get everything back in, but you had to do it almost silently as you're putting it back together. So it was quite the challenge, but I think they met it.
So when you at home who are listening now, you can close your eyes. Well, actually, it's radio. You don't have to close your eyes.
There you go.
But you can listen to the closet and kind of get that old-time experience of someone listening maybe 70, 80 years ago to Fibber McGee and Molly. Here's the episode from Reimagine Radio.
You're listening to Jonesy on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. On today's show, we're celebrating the life of Sam Mowry, who passed away last month. We're re-airing our first interview with Sam from my previous show, Mr. Jones's Neighborhood. Sam, in his role of artistic director of Willamette Radio Workshop, joined me live in the KBOO studios with John Barber of Reimagined Radio, phoning in from Vancouver, Washington, to talk radio history and the golden age of radio comedy. Before we get back to our conversation, just a reminder that our KBOO Fall Membership Drive is happening now. You can support programs like this and independent media by becoming a member today or renewing your membership. Just go online to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson Wax and Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly. Once again, it's Fibber McGee and Molly time. Fibber McGee and Molly, The dramatic story of a woman with her faith in a man and a man with his faith in a newspaper. Will something exciting, unusual, or momentous take place in the little time frame house at 79 Wistful Vista tonight? Or is that expecting too much? Yes, I guess it's expecting too much. Anyway, here they are, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Anything interesting in the paper, dearie?
Well, here's an interesting article in Crop Services, Molly.
You don't say.
Yeah. Now, take corn, for instance.
Certainly. We can take it and we can dish it out.
Hey, I'm serious. This writer says that if conditions keep up, the small farmer will be completely annihilated.
Oh.
What's annihilated?
Annihilated?
Uh-huh.
Well, that means, when the farmer... Well, for instance, if...
Where's the dictionary?
Oh, well, it's probably in the closet with the rest of your stuff. Give me the key and I'll go get it for you.
Oh, no, you don't. Now you lay off that closet. I got all my stuff arranged in there just the way I want it.
Now, don't be silly. Give me the key.
Well, okay. Now, let's see here. Which one of these is the one?
Heavenly days. Why do you carry all these keys? Does it make you feel important or something?
Well, what do you mean, important? Every one of them keys is necessary.
Well, what's that little key there for?
Well, that's a padlock key.
What padlock?
Well, for the backyard gate we used to have in Peoria.
What are you keeping that for? Are you homesick?
No, but if we ever move back to Peoria, I'd try to rent the same house and cause this key fits the padlock there. You gotta think ahead of these things. And you see this key here?
Yeah, looks like the key to a can of salmon.
Nope, sardines. I use that one to clean my pipe with.
Oh, I see.
Now, let's see. Which one of these keys is the closet door key?
Say, maybe we better see if the closet is locked. Let me take a look.
Oh, it's locked, all right. You don't think I'd leave all my personal defects in there laying around for any prowler to get his hands on?
Well, McGee, it's not locked.
What? No.
Oh! Yeah.
But, Dad Rabbit, you might have been more careful.
Quick, help! Oh, there's funny little bugs all over me. Brush them off, quick.
Oh,
quick,
calm
quick.
Yourself, calm yourself. Them are my trout flies.
Oh.
Doggone it, Molly. Why'd you have to go and mess up everything? Well, never mind that now.
Oh, dear. Will you look at all this junk that fell out of that closet?
Well, don't worry. I'll put it all back, Molly.
Oh, no, you won't.
Huh?
We're going to go through that pile of whatnots and throw everything out that we don't need.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've been through this stuff 100 times, and there ain't a thing in it that I can spare.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
What's this old rusty horseshoe for?
Well, I found that in 1911. As soon as I find 3 more, we can pitch horseshoes in the backyard.
I see. You expect to find 3 more.
You betcha.
You think the automobile is here to stay, eh?
Well, it won't be if we don't catch up with the payments.
Hi, mister!
Oh, well, hello there, little girl. What you want?
You remember that job you promised me to take care of your baby, only you didn't have one? So I was going to bring my little brother over and take care of him, remember? Do you remember?
Yes, yeah. I remember, but I...
Well, the deal is off, see?
What do you mean the deal is off? In the first place, I wasn't any deal, and in the second place...
My mommy had to take my little brother to the doctor today, so I can't bring him here.
Oh, well, that's too bad. What's the matter with your little brother? Anything serious?
My mama thinks so.
Oh, she thinks so, huh?
She thinks so. She thinks he swallowed a dime.
Swallowed a dime? Well, that is serious.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
he didn't swallow a dime, I betcha.
Huh?
It was only 8 cents.
Only 8 cents? Well, how do you know?
Playing slot machine, and I fed it to him. What you doing, mister?
Well, we're cleaning out this closet, if you must know.
Nothing.
Mustn't what?
No.
What, no?
Yes.
What?
Come.
Oh, listen, kid. Suppose you go on home and annoy somebody else. Go bother your daddy.
He isn't home. He's working on the senseless.
On the what?
On the senseless. He goes to people's doors and asks them how many people in the family and how old are you and all the stuff like that there, I betcha.
Oh, you mean the census. Shucks, I didn't think a kid of your age knew what a census was.
Oh, I do, I betcha.
Yeah?
Yeah, a census is information, please, on the red, white, and blue network. Well, goodbye, mister.
Goodbye.
Ah, heavenly days, McGee. Imagine all this stuff falling out of one little closet. How'd you ever get it all in there?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just inherited a gift for packing. You know, my great-aunt Minnie had a job stuffing pimentos and olives. Oh, look at this, Molly. It's the tabaret I made in manual training. Yes, sir.
Didn't you ever finish anything? It's only got 3 legs.
Well, they wouldn't let me stay in the 5th grade another year.
Oh, McGee, look. One of our old dance programs before we were married. I didn't know you were so sentimental.
Is that a dance program? I was saving it on account of that little pencil hanging onto it. I mean, you'll never know when you need a pencil.
Listen to this. Waltz. Waltz, turkey trot. Waltz, bunny hug. Waltz, Texas Tommy waltz.
What, no shottish?
Grizzly bear waltz. Ah, you had every dance with me but the last waltz. McGee, who did you dance with?
Why, nobody. We sat that one out. In the buggy, remember?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. And we couldn't go back into the dance because you sat on a box of chocolate-covered cherries and spoiled your white pants.
Yes, well, let me see, Molly. Hey, how about this old photograph album here?
Well, I should say not. That's got all our old family photos in it.
Oh, dear.
You mean you're going to keep all of this junk? We can't throw any of it out.
Nope, no, sir. I've got a use for every one of those things.
Now, you don't need this, do you?
Huh?
What is good is one snowshoe.
What?
Snowshoe.
Is that a snowshoe? Why, shucks. No wonder Billy Hills beat me so badly at tennis.
Well, McGee, I've just about exhausted my impatience with you.
Why?
Packing all this useless junk back in the closet. How about all these old books?
Oh, what old books? Why, let me see. Oh, them! Why, them's my correspondence course in taxidermy.
Taxidermy? Why on earth did you need to study taxidermy?
Well, how did I know that it meant stuffing birds and animals? And there I was, stuck with a chauffeur's license, a city map, and a pair of puttees.
All right, well, hurry up and put your playthings back in the closet.
Okay.
It looks terrible lying around here on the floor like that.
Oh, I'll get it. Hello, no, this is the residence. No, you got the wrong number. Is that you, Mert?
Oh, egad, every week the same thing.
How's every little thing, Mert? What say? Your Uncle Gulliver? Well, that's too bad, Mert.
Oh, my.
And they ain't found the body yet, huh?
Oh, heavenly days. McGee, what happened?
Oh, well, Mert's uncle drove his car off a cliff and had to walk home. They found the chassis up in a tree, but they don't know where the body is. What say, Mert? Oh, that's okay, Mert. Everybody gets the wrong number now and then, except Irving Berlin. Well, let's see now.
McGee, why are you saving this long stick of bamboo?
Why, Molly, that's got a very definite purpose. If I was offered a job as a sparring partner for Joe Lewis, that's the 10-foot pole I wouldn't touch it with.
Say, do you really think that you can get all this stuff back in the closet?
Why, sure I can. I don't want anybody touching these things either but me. They're too valuable.
Oh.
I'd have done an hour ago if I hadn't been interfered with.
All right. You do it, then. I have got some work to do in the kitchen.
Well, I got to get the rest of this stuff in the closet here. Well, that looks like about all of it. Yep, it's all packed in there. Boy, what a job. Molly!
What is it, McGee?
Look, I got all that stuff back in the closet all straightened out.
Splendid, McGee.
And after this, when you want something out of there, let me get it for you.
All right.
Yep.
But now that you've got the dictionary out of there, why don't you leave it out? We may need it again.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Well, I forgot to leave it out. I packed the dictionary back in there.
Oh, heavenly days.
Now, you stay away from there. Now, I know exactly where I put it. I can get it out without any problem.
All right. Oh!
Molly!
Yes?
I found the dictionary. How do you spell annihilated?
Now look, McGee, that junk of yours is positively not going back in that closet.
Oh, yes it is.
Oh, no it isn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, wait a minute, that's the wrong routine.
Well, all right then. But if it does go back in there, I'll arrange it myself. Now you keep your hands off it this time.
Oh, you're going to do it all by yourself?
I am.
Fine. As the fat lady says when she takes off her corset, that lets me out.
Tain't funny, McGee. Good night now.
Good night.
Well, we're back here on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood here on KBOO Community Radio. You were just listening to the Reimagined Radio and Willamette Radio Workshop production of a classic episode of Fibber McGee and Molly, one of radio's most popular couples, and they had one of radio's most popular closets there. That sound effects were fantastic. Sam, who did that again, the Foley artist?
David Ian and Dino D. Elfwheel did the Foley, and Eric James was Fibber, and Pat Blem was Molly.
And how did they do that little kind of climax at the closet there, the kind of the echoing...
Something falling on the spinning
floor.
Yes,
yeah.
That was our chime bowl and just a washer, and you had to just spin the washer just right for it to time out to die.
Yeah, that first time it worked perfectly. Yeah. That was about a 6-7
second. The
second
time they were using a one of those door stopper things.
Yeah, that was a little quicker. Yeah. But the guy playing Fibber came in perfectly there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was waiting for it to die down a little and come in. We have one more piece to play from the production of Laugh Your Dial Off, and this is recorded again last Wednesday at the Kiggins Theater in Vancouver. And in my humble opinion, at least, and I was there, we're saving the best for last. And this I think even listeners who don't know old-time radio that well or at all will know the famous Who's on First bit from Abbott and Costello. They did it in vaudeville.
Right.
They did it on radio. They did it in film. Mm-hmm. And it's been played countless times. But you took a different track here. The Credibility Gap, a comedy group in the late 60s, early 70s, with some famous names now. They had David Alander, who played, and Michael McKean, Lenny and Squiggy. Michael McKean's currently in Better Call Saul. He's Saul's brother. Mm-hmm. Harry Shearer, from The Simpsons. Right, from The Simpsons, and a number. He has a long-running radio show called The Show. Oh, yes. And they were in Spinal Tap, too. So very famous people, but they started off doing this comedy sketch, The Credibility Gap, and they did a takeoff on Who's on First, which you do here. Sam, you want to set it up a little?
Sure. Well, John and I had talked about it, and John said, you know, we really should do Who's on First, because like with War of the Worlds, it's the most famous comedy bit of all time. It's been done on TV, and a lot of Saturday morning cartoons would have an Abbott and Costello show, and they would do that, you know, every other week, it seemed. And I was a little resistant because I thought it was a little too overdone, and I thought the audience knew it a little too well. But I was like, I can see why we should do it, and we should end with it so it would be that familiar experience for people. And then a new person we had in the workshop this year, Jason Harder, came up with this piece that was from the Kids in the Hall, which was called The Worst Straight Man in the World. And they're trying to do the Who's on First, and he doesn't get it, and he over-explains everything. Oh, I see how you're confused. Who? He's actually, his brother was Chinese, so his name is H-U, and you thought I meant who as in W-H-O, who's, and goes through the whole bit and just over-explains the whole thing, and you're just like, oh.
That sounds like a funny bit. I haven't heard
it was,
that
one. And I was like, well, let's do that, because that will be, you know, in the spirit of, and then Todd Tulsis, the master of all things radio and funny, showed up at the first one, and we did that first bit, and he said, you know, I was listening to this on the way over here. And, you know, we got to do this. Sam, we got to do it. And he played the bit for me off his phone, and we all thought it was hysterical. But I asked my first question, do you have a transcript? He was like, no. And I said, well, if you transcribe it, we can do it. He went home and did it, and we had him and David Myers, who is, you know, a wonderful straight man, as he was when he did Edgar Bergen.
And Jack Benny.
And Jack Benny, all great straight men. And then Todd, of course, had to do the – he was going to be Costello from the beginning because he's just hysterical. We didn't do the Fred Allen Show bit, but his Senator Claghorn, which is the basis for Foghorn Leghorn,
right,
is just hysterical. I thought that just killed on Wednesday. But anyway, so we went through all that, and then we came up with this, and I think it really stole the show, put the cherry on top, and it brought us from the golden age of radio to today and showed how it's still connected and how vibrant it still is. And so, you know, I think it was a win-win.
So let's play that now. Credibility Gaps, Who's On First, as done by Reimagine Radio Project.
The following incident takes place in the advertising department of the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, hello, Louise. Did that rock and roll promoter ever show up? What rock and roll promoter? You know, the one who was going to take out the full-page ad. Did he ever show up? But he didn't. Oh, he did. Well, would you tell him he's 6 minutes late by my watch, and my watch is 5 minutes fast? And well, yeah, tell him that. I don't know what that comes to. Just have him figure it out. Would you please send him in? Thank you. Sheesh, I can't believe these people. They either show up or they don't show up, or they show up or they don't show up, or they show up or they don't show up.
Excuse me, Mr. Hickenlooper?
Yes, I'm Walter Hickenlooper.
Yeah, yeah, how you doing? My name is Daddy Drollinger. I'm with Conquest Concerts. We do all the big rock and roll shows, you know, in the outlying areas.
Yeah.
We do the festival, the Salsa in Orange Show Auditorium.
Uh-huh.
You know all that stuff.
Yeah,
we've
sure.
done business with you people before.
Uh-huh.
And I came here personally today because I want a huge, full-paid ad. We're doing a very, very big rock show at the Big O.
The Big O. What is that, Winchell's Donuts?
What's the problem, sir? Are you new to the area?
No.
Well, everybody here knows that there's a Big A, there's the Big O, there's the Big I. The Big A's Anaheim Stadium.
That I know.
The Big O's Ontario Motor Speedway.
Ah, Ontario Motor Speedway. What's the Big I?
That's me. You can write it down if you want.
I'm not going to write that down.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to remember. We're going to be in town for
a
while. Okay,
fine,
look. It's going to be a very different kind of rock show. No smoke bombs, no lasers, and most important, no opening acts.
Oh.
Just three headline supergroups.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom, 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 just like that. You know, I want them all to have equal billing, equal weight.
Well, the easiest way to do that is why don't we just list them in the order that they appear. How's that? One, two, three.
That's a good idea. I like the way you work.
Well, thank you very much.
Maybe we'll do some business with you in the future.
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Now, well, Mr. Hickenlooper,
why don't we start with the name of the first act?
Fine.
Okay. Who's on first?
Well, Mr. Hickenlooper, if my secretary's already given you the information, there's no sense for me to be here. I could be out booking Sly in Spokane. So if you've got everything...
Wait a minute. All I said was who's on first.
That's right.
Ah, that's right. Like that name. That's right. So affirmative. So positive. So...
Don't write that's right. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Well, a bit more negative, but you know, with these times and all, that's
Mr.
wrong.
Hickenlooper, it is not that's right. It's not that's wrong.
Well, then who's on first?
Who's on first?
Who is on first?
Who is on first?
Who?
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 Who's on first?
That's right.
That's right. I got it down, written down right here.
Look, Mr. Hickenlooper, you get on the Pomona Freeway, you drive out to the Ontario Motor Speedway, you give the man your ticket, you sit down in your seat, the guy comes out and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present who?
Who?
That's right.
That's right. I got it right here. It's a fine group as far as I'm concerned. What's the problem? Okay, You're upset.
I guess I'm upset.
We're having a communication problem. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Let's just get this straight before my quaalude kicks in, all right?
All right, okay.
Fine.
All right, let's start with the name of the second act.
Fine.
Okay, who's on second?
Who's on first?
All right, wait a minute. I'm sorry. What's the name of the second act?
Guess who?
Well...
Geez, I'm not familiar with the genre here.
I don't have any genre, just three rock and roll acts, guess who?
Well, give me the Diggling Sisters.
They're not even sisters, Mr. Higginlooper. Guess who?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods? I'm not running some goddamn Busch Gardens here, pal. Guess who?
I can't guess who.
You don't have to guess who.
Well, then I won't guess who.
Don't guess who.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. I will tell you something, frankly, sir. I didn't have this much trouble with the free press.
Well, I will tell you something, frankly, sir. I didn't have this much trouble with the Music Center, and they put on Rigoletto 1 year.
That's four acts.
Not the year they did it. Now, let's move on to the third act.
Who?
What? Will you please tell me the name of the third act?
Yes.
Fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, let me see a proof of this ad by Wednesday.
Wait a minute. Where are you going? Wait a minute. I asked you to tell me the name of the third act.
I just told you the name of the third act. You want me to tell you again?
Yes.
That's right.
That's right's on first.
Who's on first? Guess who's on second? And the third act?
Yes.
That's right. What is your problem?
Here's my problem. I've been writing for 11 minutes. I got nothing down on the paper. Why don't you take the pen, you take the paper, and you write it down?
Are you kidding? If I could write, I wouldn't have had to steal this bit.
Oh.
And you just heard Reimagine Radio's rendition of Abbott and Costello, Who's on First Routine, as reimagined by the radio comedy group The Credibility Gap, Harry Shearer, David L. Lander, Michael McKean. Richard Beebe was in there, too, but he was kind of the news voice. He wasn't in this bit. Sam, again, who were the actors in that bit? Because their timing was vaudeville perfect.
Oh, yes. That was David Myers and Todd Tulsis, who two very experienced actors, and they're great for radio work. They've got a wonderful sense of timing and a great sense of character, make things very full and a joy to work with.
Yeah, just incredible bit. So I'm glad our listeners got a chance to listen to that because there might not be another performance of Laugh Your Dial Off. John, are you still on the phone?
I am still here.
Oh, fantastic. I have a very quick quiz for you and Sam. It's an old-time radio quiz, so the $64 question. But since this is KABU, we're going to call it the $6.40 question. And
that's more like a radio budget.
Right. The idea is to give us the birth name of these celebrities from the golden age of radio. Mm-hmm. So first, Jack Benny, his birth name, his real name. John and Sam, just chime in if you know.
I have no idea for Jack.
Okay.
How about you, John?
I do not have that on the tip of my tongue, no.
Oh. Okay, I'll give it. That's Benjamin Kubelski.
Ah.
And I had the cheating here of I looked it up. So oh. Fred Allen.
Nope.
John, any idea there?
Boy, we're not doing so well today.
And he wasn't Jewish, so this is not John, a Kubelski. This is a John Florence
Sullivan.
That's John it, Florence John Florence Sullivan. Sullivan. Okay,
very nice.
So 10 points for John there. This one, I think I even knew without looking up, W.C. Fields.
Yes, William Claude Duncan Field.
Exactly.
Yeah, that I knew.
Okay, and the very last one, since he was on our show today, or a version of him, Edgar Bergen.
Paulie's dad.
right, Candace's dad.
Candace's dad, there.
Yeah.
Edgar John Bergen.
Oh, man, that's perfect. Yeah, so kind of a trick question. He didn't change his name, you know.
Right. One of the few wasps in radio.
Well, that's all for this episode of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood here on KABU Community Radio, or KABU Neighborhood Radio, as I like to call it. If you missed any part of the show, would just like to hear it all again, you can stream this episode and previous episodes online at kboo.fm/program/Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, or just search for it on the KABU website. Before we head out the door, a big neighborhood thank you to our guest today, Sam Mowry of Willamette Radio Workshop, and John Barber of Reimagined Radio. Sam's Willamette Radio Workshop is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. While not doing live shows right now due to the pandemic, WRW is planning a few live stream events in the near future. You can find out more on their website, radiowork.com. As for Reimagine Radio, they take the virtual stage next month with a radio broadcast of War of the Worlds. First performed by Orson Welles and his Mercury Theater back on Halloween night, October 31st, 1938. This is perhaps the most famous audio drama in the history of Western civilization, with Homer's The Odyssey a close second. For details on the show, you can go to their website, reimagineradio.net. Just a reminder that we're in the middle of our KBOO Fall membership drive. If you enjoyed our conversation with Sam and John, you can show your support for this program and all your favorite KBOO programs by donating to our fall drive today. Just go to kboo.fm and click on the big donate button. All of us here at the station, even Mr. Jones himself, thank you for that. Mr. Jones's Neighborhood returns next month with a new name, Jonesy, and a new time slot, the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Tune in for our very first episode Thursday, October 14th at 11. Hope to see you all again then. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying may it always be a beautiful day in your neighborhood.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Got a match?
Match? Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
What?
You heard me.
Mister. Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.